When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.
I just start over it. It writes over it.
Oh. Well, let me see if I can make something with the waveform. Wow. 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 I want to make circles.
Is this your first day?
Wow.
It's like a four-year-old coming in.
Look, I was making a circle before you started talking over it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, you want me to shut up?
I remember
when watch the fun waveform.
My dad got a radio, like Christmas 1973. Yeah. This big, nice radio.
Yeah.
It had shortwave and a tape player and everything, right? Early 70s, made by Iowa, I believe. Is that right? Anyway, it had a little VU meter on it.
Uh-huh.
And my brother, who's 6 years older than me, so he's like, he'd be 11 at that point. He's like, the needle is rising. It's rising like heck. We had that on a recording. Did you ever make little radio shows with were you an only child?
Not that I can recall. I had two sisters, one older, one younger.
Did you make radio shows with them
or anything like that? Absolutely did. I recruited my younger sister. I did like radio dramas.
Yeah.
And
with Foley sound effects and everything?
I did all that stuff. Yeah, I was kind of improvising the script in the moment.
Nice.
And I would just pause the little, you know, like realistic tape recorder, you know, the press the red record button and play at the same time, and then just kind of pause it and then have her say this, and she was the other character.
Right.
And these kind of big melodramatic stupid things. She had no idea what she was saying.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I remember doing that with my brother one time. And I was much younger, right? So I'm this is probably 76.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like 8, and he's 14 or 15. And I remember he would just pick up the tape recorder and look around the room at the posters and different things we had on the wall.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm looking around the room, and what do I see? I see Nadia, Comaneci, a cougar, a koala, funny-looking dork, a lion, a leopard, and a nerd. You know, like, just looking at the different things on the wall.
Yeah.
And that's the exact song that he sang. I still remember it.
Because you would listen to it back over and over again.
But not for 40 years.
But I know. It's just very – it makes a big impact.
But – it's so funny that I would end up doing radio for a living all these years later, and I, you know, you don't think about it until much time passes, but you look back on it, it's like, I guess I was kind of into it.
Well,
I guess it kind of makes sense.
Same thing occurred to me, because here's a little blast from the past, kids listening.
Wait, hold on. Before you continue with this, I want to hear it. Who the hell are you?
Hi, it's Larry Morgan here.
I'm Andy Chanley.
Yeah.
If we're going to be radio people, we got to have the mechanics right. Reset. I'm Andy Chanley, and Sam Farmer and Josh Fligger are on assignment.
Yeah.
This is your artificial friends. Please continue.
I had the same realization, and it was because, and again, a little blast from the past for those of you of a certain era, that back in the day, those of us who wanted to have a song to listen to again and didn't necessarily have the money to run out to the local five and dime store or wherever, a music store or whatever, or you weren't sure you wanted to make the investment in the 45 yet, you would record songs off the radio.
What? That's piracy.
It's
that is copyright infringement, sir.
It's true.
I take you to task.
Yeah. But we all did it, and we were rebels. But, you know, there'd usually be an obnoxious disc jockey talking all over it or whatever.
Hate those
you
guys.
But there was a period at which I suddenly started to transition, and the tapes that I was making were basically becoming air checks. I was skipping the songs, and I was recording the jocks, because even in Odessa, Texas, where I grew up, it was kind of end of the late 70s going into 80s when I started working, and it was kind of the end of that boss jock era.
Uh-huh.
And even in my little town, they were just screaming and having fun and being idiots, and they had characters, and a guy did like a duck voice, and they were playing with, you know, reel-to-reel tape machines and changing the speeds to create weird characters and stuff. They were having a blast, and we had a night jock in town that just was so much fun, and I would listen to him every night. I was recording his breaks, And I would call in on the request line and try and do bits with him and see if I would end up on the radio. So, yeah, I mean, I look back at that as like, well, duh, I started to focus so much more on the guys between the songs than the actual songs themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I remember listening to stations in Indianapolis and being so just so enamored with it. So, yeah. You know, and they were like godlike. And I've told you this before. I remember the first thing I won on the radio. I think the only thing I've won on the radio ever.
Yeah. I remember it too.
It was
mine.
Me telling you.
I remember your first prize too.
Yeah, it was tickets for Hooper yeah. for the
yes
the terrific movie with
with Burt Reynolds.
Reynolds and J. Michael Vincent.
Yes,
right?
Indeed, that's yeah. right. They were stunt drivers.
Yeah,
yeah. It was,
say bye bye to the nice officer. Bye bye nice officer. Yeah, totally remember. Drinking and driving and that. Yeah, it was just awful.
Incredibly irresponsible.
Those guys were larger than life to mm-hmm. me, and I can still remember like specific breaks I heard DJs do.
Oh sure.
That yeah, I'm like yeah. that guy's kind of cool, you know, yeah. and what they just said that's you know that's neat. It never ever dawned on me that one day you know I would do it.
I actually again it's one of those memories, in hindsight you can say okay that made an impact because it was the same thing. I mean I had a real fascination once I got my head wrapped around the fact once I was not like young but I started to recognize that. There were people who did this. This was their job,
yeah.
and they were here in my town. That was when it really started to blossom. It wasn't just, you know, when you're little, you think there's a little man inside that stupid box because
right.
we're, you know, kids are dumb. Let's right. face it,
yeah.
kids are stupid.
I got two of them.
Yeah, I mean they're idiots,
almost
right?
worthless.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I'm pretty dumb now too. But then once you start to connect that, no, this is people who live here in this town, and they are
yeah.
larger than life.
You might
life.
Run into them at the grocery store.
They're the closest thing you've got to local celebrities outside of like the TV weatherman, who
yeah.
you know can be elevated to heights as well. And I remember that my older sister, her best friend for a number of years. Was the daughter of the owner of like the main FM station in town. Now, at the time, FM had not transitioned into more contemporary
yes, this
music.
This is the 1940s.
Yeah, yes, that's right. FM was this late 70s. Everything on the FM was relegated to, it wasn't a mainstream band on the radio yet.
Yeah.
And it was usually beautiful music or elevator music, as they called it.
Right.
And
in Indianapolis, it was. You're listening to Ecstasy, yeah. Stereo 103.
There you go.
WXTZ.
And this was KQIP in Odessa. But they had studios and offices up in like the tallest building in Odessa, and we got to go visit one time. And my sister's friend, who was the daughter of the owner, had a part-time shift on the weekends as a
wow.
high school student. And I think it was mostly automated and she was just running tapes and stuff. But I got to go in and I remember, and even though it was a station at the time, there was no way in hell I would ever want to listen to this. It was, you know, I don't know. It was Ferrante and Teicher. You know, it was piano versions of contemporary
right.
songs and new Christian minstrels.
Singers.
Absolutely. It was just horrific. But just the aura around being in there and seeing the studio with, oh, that's a microphone. And I related that to what I was hearing on my favorite stations. And, yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big. So I have distinct memory of the first time I interviewed for a job at our local radio station. I remember being so intimidated. They just gave me news copy off the AP wire, and I just read it. You know, for, like I was, you know, just to see how I would do reading
sure.
off. And they told me, I remember calling a couple of days later and go, so how was it? And the guy said, well, you were terrible. But I think we can give you one shift a week running Casey Kasem records and
nice.
We won't do any damage. I was like, great. My first air check session.
What, and quit show business?
Yeah.
That's
I didn't good. Care.
That was my first job.
Yeah.
I did radio news mm-hmm. that I backed into. We've talked about that before.
Right.
But then my first job, like, you know, alone in the radio station was airing the Superstar Concert Series
yeah.
and the King Biscuit Flower
King Biscuit
Hour.
King Biscuit Flower Hour.
Off of LP
yeah.
sent from Burbank, California.
There you go.
And, you know, then I come out here, move out here all those years later, and I know all these people. These names that you mentioned at the end of these things, you know, executive producer, Norm Pattiz, and, you know, all these people that I know.
Yeah. For me, the big full circle thing for me is kind of mind blowing. But that, you know, that was my first job running American Top 40. And then, you know, flash forward.
True. I forgot about that.
30 years later, and I'm actually kind of Casey's boss for a while. I mean, I'm like the executive in charge of production, and I see him every day.
Right.
And he's asking me questions about it. I was like, dude, you invented this. I don't need to give you my feedback, right? You count backwards from 40 to 1. You've done it forever. It was amazing.
That was your advice to Casey Kasem?
No, I just reminded him.
That's brilliant.
Well, he came to me and he was like, should we start at 15? I was like, no, don't go out of order. You perfected it.
That's a whole different show.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. How you doing there, Andy?
Oh, God, I'm great. Things just couldn't be better for
me. I guess we can technically say happy holidays for reals now,
yeah,
right?
Well, it's pretty close. Well, hold off on the holiday talk, mm-hmm. because my hope is that we have a holiday edition coming up soon for Thanksgiving. What I'd like to do, is it possible this might be a same-day episode?
What do you mean? That you're going to release this the day it actually happens?
The day it actually happened.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You got a little behind this week.
Got a little behind, yeah.
We weren't able to do a weekend episode like
Josh
we normally
do. Josh was under the weather this past weekend.
Hungover.
So he wasn't able to.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen.
Yeah, scheduling issues.
Right. So is it possible?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, great.
Why don't we just, upload it live as we're talking? Can you do that?
That's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, well, then in that case, happy birthday to my younger sister, Meredith, who I forced to do radio dramas with me as a child, who never knew what she was doing. It's her birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Meredith. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
22nd of November?
21st of
November. That's today.
That's today.
All right. Great. Mercury went direct today.
I'm sorry?
Yesterday. Mercury went direct. You know, Mercury goes retrograde.
Right.
And
what does direct mean?
Well, it doesn't really ever go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It always continues in its orbit. But okay. Relative to the Earth, it looks like it's going backwards.
Oh,
it's like when a car passes you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the highway, and you look at the spokes on their tires, for a moment, the persistence of motion can make it look like they're going backwards.
Exactly.
It's that kind of thing. And during those times, that's when Mercury takes its fist
mm-hmm.
and jams it up your ass with no lubricant whatsoever, and then spreads its hand out wide to show a big number five. That's what Mercury does to me.
You're saying that like it's a bad thing?
Well, some people think that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Did you hear like a couple weeks ago? During Mercury in retrograde, it was a national news story that like millions of texts that were sent out on Valentine's Day this year never got there, but suddenly, like a week or two ago, they show up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And how many people broke up over that? Oh. You didn't even text me. Yeah, I did, baby. I'm like, nah, fuck you. I'm going out with somebody else. I would imagine that ruined a few people's lives, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I wonder.
This last week.
But by the way, if that did, then you were not meant to be together anyway.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
If a mistaken text didn't come through, then...
I got an email from my boss that he sent a week earlier this last week.
Oh.
It was like, hey, everybody, I'm canceling the meeting this week. We're like... Yeah, that was last week. You know, canceling it again. It was like crazy.
You know, I had that happen to me this
during
week.
These times.
Yeah.
Nutty shit happens with my car, with my computer, with everything else. You shouldn't. We were talking before we walked in here about me buying a new computer.
Uh-huh.
I told myself there's no fucking way I'm buying one before the 21st, before today, when things go back to normal.
There is a lot of crap going on, like work-wise, that is falling apart. So that does that count?
Sure.
Where like things that should be happening and were planned and were mapped out and they're just completely
F-ed
falling
communication.
Apart.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
it
what today
that.
Is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What I thought we would do is get to some Yaff Line calls.
Oh, great.
Because there are several of them. But before we do that, Larry, it's been so long since I've sat here with you. And asked you about your cinematic prowess, about your something that is a love and joy in your life.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I have to go see? Ooh. Should Laura and I get a date night sometime? I guess you're going to say Jojo Rabbit. But tell me what movie, if I get the opportunity to get 3 hours to see, what should it be?
Well, I will be honest with you. I am not as caught up as I would like to be, and I anticipate doing so over the holidays. And actually, I feel like it's been pretty slim pickings for a while. By the way, the bio on Slim Pickens, amazing. No, I'm kidding. I will tell you that there is one movie.
You will only hear one Slim Pickens joke today. And it's on this broadcast.
It's going to be right here. Look
well
it up, people. That's a real guy.
My parents love Slim Pickens. Those ads would come on for his records when I was like 8. And they, you know, the
I forgot about records.
You're thinking of Slim Pickens.
You're thinking of Slim Whitman. Slim
Pickens. Oh, right. Slim Pickens is the
Slim
actor.
Slim Pickens is the actor.
Mad World.
And 1941, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking of Slim
Whitman.
Slim Whitman
is the yodeling mustached guitar picker.
Slim Pickens is the actor in It's a Mad World.
Yeah, he's in there.
Isn't that the one
he's
where
he's got that kind
he took
well,
the
Jack Nabbit.
He took the boot and threw it in the toilet.
No, that's 1941.
Oh, that was 1941?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that well. Oh my God. This is our Slim Pickens chunk.
Yeah.
All right, so back to current movies. I can tell you things that I know have been getting high marks and are worth seeing. I can tell you of one movie I highly recommend, which I absolutely love. I just don't know if it's a date night movie, but the movie Parasite, which has been getting, and it's South Korean, so it's a lot of subtitles. I don't know if everybody in your family enjoys the subtitles or not, or can handle that. And it is a mind-blowing, wild movie. It is so good.
And is it about a parasite?
It's about it's metaphorical. It's about class struggle. And it's got this wild premise, and it's got kind of a cool little thing that yanks the rug out from under you about halfway through. Great performances, visually very beautiful, really powerful in kind of the metaphor of people who are living in poverty versus people who are well off. It's also very funny. A completely surprising, look at Parasite, and that
South
one's great.
Korean movie.
South Korean.
All right.
And a filmmaker who's done a lot of other, like, wonderful things that are really, really good. Mm-hmm. Snowpiercer. He made Snowpiercer, if you remember that one.
Nope.
Okay. Here's what I can tell you is supposed to be really good. If you want to go nice and heartwarming and Tom Hanksian, this A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
This is supposed to be very good and also quite creative, not just a straight-ahead biopic of Fred Rogers, but a really creative visually and storytelling-wise.
Do you know... it just came out yesterday, a little news story. They found out that Tom Hanks is distantly related.
Yeah. He's like a sixth cousin or something?
Yeah. Distantly related to Fred Rogers. That's great.
And this doesn't come out until next week after Thanksgiving, but Knives Out is supposed to be terrific. It's an all-star cast, basically. It's a murder mystery.
Right.
Like a contemporary murder mystery, not an old stuffy one. It's supposed to be delightful. It's got Daniel Craig and...
It's like a death trap for
like a modern. Yeah, exactly. Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. Don Johnson is having a big year. Don Johnson's having a big comeback.
Who's going to wash my car?
He's in Watchmen on HBO and... in this Knives Out movie.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, Don Johnson having a moment all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So I know those right off the top. When are you guys going?
I don't know.
Oh.
Probably never.
Nope.
I thought maybe you'd have some crazy recommendation. Oh my God, you've got to go see. Have you seen Jojo Rabbit?
Parasite. No, I haven't. See, I haven't seen that yet.
Josh
and I really
it.
Want to.
He swears by it. And he's a cultural idiot.
Yeah, no kidding. He's just a plain idiot. Though.
Yeah, I'm amazed he can, you know, clean the drool off his lip.
That movie's a little divisive because it's a tonal shift that people are having trouble with. But generally, I love this director and this guy who I can't pronounce his name. He's a New Zealander. He's a Kiwi.
He's a
is that offensive?
He's Maori.
Maori. Yeah, that's
part
right.
Maori.
He is Maori.
Kiwi is.
Oh, and also Scorsese's The Irishman is out, but that's going to be on Netflix like next week. So
is it?
Yep.
So I'll just watch it at home?
Yeah.
That's a movie?
It's the latest release. It's the latest Scorsese movie. They're saying it's one of his best ever.
And it's
De Niro.
De Niro and Pesci.
Al Pacino.
Yeah, it's getting the
Ray
band
Romano.
Back together.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
But it's supposed to be one of his best.
Nice.
And it's also 3.5 freaking hours long, so maybe being able to pause Netflix is a good idea.
Ray Romano
for little tinkle breaks.
Has worked his way back into relevance in a totally different, unexpected way.
Well,
I liked him in Vinyl. Remember that series
yes.
that was on?
He also had an arc in that show Parenthood. And was really good in that. He was great in Vinyl, and he had his own show, Men of a Certain Age, that won a Peabody Award. It was on TNT. It lasted for a couple of seasons. It was just a crime that they canceled it. It was Ray Romano, Scott Bakula, and Andre Brower as men in their 40s, and you know, just kind of their lives and being best friends. And it was incredibly well written, and he helped create it, and I think produced it and starred in it. And he was exceptionally good in that.
Nice.
Ray Romano.
Yeah.
Look at us talking about Ray Romano and Slim Pickens in the same,
R&R.
Same deal. So I know I'm not much of a help to you, but I'm going to play big-time movie catch-up over the next
Now I can't wait for the SAG screeners to come in.
Yeah, that's right.
A heap of them.
Yeah. Guess I ought to pay my dues, right?
If you pay a whole bunch of money
yes.
in dues
mm-hmm.
to the Screen Actors Guild,
yep.
and don't mind the fact that you never get any work, then every Christmas they send you some movies that you can watch.
Basically all the movies and
so you can vote
and TV shows.
So people should know. So you can vote for the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, it's for awards. It's things that are up for SAG Awards, and that includes film and TV.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll get a box set of something that you've already watched months ago.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I got a box set of Stranger Things. I've seen it.
Here's Orange
great.
Is the New Black, season
yeah.
4.
Okay. Exactly.
That's on DVD.
So they do that, but but then you get some the best of
yeah.
the best movies.
Absolutely.
The best picture movies. You will get at least a code to go and watch them on a screen somewhere.
That's all we did last holiday was crank one of those up every night. We saw every great movie we needed to. And
yeah.
I voted. Like a good union member.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Got
to pay those dues, though. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that or a car payment? What's it going to be? What do I need more?
Yeah.
Should we get to some YAF line messages?
Hey, YAFers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Good news. Ozzy the Trail Dog got to go mountain biking Sunday. I know that quite a few of you have been worried about this. You can see a picture of him on Instagram. Now on to this week's episode. This week is all about stacking rocks. Lots and lots of rocks. Mostly large ones. Two different jobs that had boulders in the ground were saved for rock walls during the excavation process. One of the jobs had a lot of nice flat rocks. So I was able to build some nice steps. The other job, the boulders were mostly rounded. This makes stacking a little more challenging. I've been also working on redoing an indoor riding arena. Got it cleaned out, started regrading the base. We'll be adding new decomposed granite sand
DG.
For the finished surface. Another day in the life of a ditch digging man.
Yep. Nice.
See you later.
Wow. They just get better and better.
He's an American treasure.
I think so. His show's been renewed for a second season.
It has.
Yeah.
What do you do with decomposed granite?
I
don't understand the term decomposed granite.
Yeah.
Does that the rock doesn't decompose, right? It's just broken down into tiny fine particles.
I assume that's what that means, because how long would it take for granite to actually just dissolve? It's going to last longer than the rest of us.
Some people take it for granted. All right, next one. Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Trucker Joe from Northern California. I know I haven't called in a few weeks. I just wanted to separate myself from the show where you opened up with 5 minutes of Cal's asshole talk. Anyway, yeah, I didn't want to be associated with that. So, but I've been listening. I just didn't want to be on that show. So, anyhow.
Fair enough.
I recommended your show to somebody, and then a few weeks later I asked them, hey, did you check out that show? And they said, you mean that show where they talk about building sheds? And I started to say no, but then I kind of hung my head and said yes. So I think you should put a warning on those shed shows, like, you know, that they're for geriatric listeners, guys that can handle, you know, an hour of just talking about a shed. Anyways, I love you guys, and hope we get Larry and Sam again soon. And that's about it. So take it easy.
There we go.
We got the horn. First of all, I want to make it on the record here that I also want to disassociate myself from the cow assholes portion of
the show. You ever eat a cow asshole? Many parts are edible.
Probably. And also, I would like to disassociate myself from any show. Actually, I don't know what would be worse. If you recommended this podcast to somebody, and we're saying, you got to listen to these guys. They have a great time. It's like, you know, like they become like part of your family or friends, and it's the whole point. And what's worse, the first episode a friend you recommend it to listens to is the Cal Assholes episode or an episode where there's nothing but shed talk. I am leaning toward the latter.
But you think shed talk is better?
No.
Your shed talk is worse than cow asshole talk?
Totally.
I think there's a title of the the podcast right there.
At least I would find the cow, even as offensive or disgusting as it might be, I would find it entertaining and did, even while at the same time repelled by the extremely long conversation that you and Josh had about that topic.
Sometimes you need to hash shit out.
But right? I do feel like it was educational in a weird way. It made me, I was at least temporarily completely vegetarian for about a week after hearing
the cow asshole talk?
Pretty much.
What about shed asshole talk?
No, that's your show every day. KCSN 88.5.
Shed asshole talk. There we go. Here's another one. Do-do-do.
Hey, AFers. It's Artificial. It's Machinist Dan from Southwest Washington. How you doing? Yeah, I'm the guy that started the Mark McGrath rumor. Yeah, sorry about that. I saw that no-telling-ass clown on some talk show, and he said that very thing himself. So, anyway, sorry. I'm wrong. I guess I'm one of those guys that starts those rumors. And, well, I would have got away with it if it wasn't that damn meddling Lonely Morgan. But anyway, hope you guys are all doing good. I love the show. Take care. I won't start any more rumors. Bye.
Yeah.
That's
well,
good advice.
So, to reiterate, the rumor was that Mark McGrath,
the lead singer for
Sugar Ray, as a child played
Chaka
on Land of the Lost, which is not true at all. No truth to that rumor. And that rumor does...
I don't think he was even old enough to have done it.
Yeah, I think that the ages are completely off. But that rumor is out there on the internet as fact in various places, but it's easy enough to refute it. And but it's interesting that he claims that he started that. Speaking of rumors, since this is coming out today...
He claims that Mark McGrath started it.
Oh, himself. He claims Mark McGrath started it on
some TV show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So there you go.
All right. Speaking of rumors that we can refute, since this is real time coming out today, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there right now because some Fox News alert got mass emailed to a number of people because I know it's out there because it's popping up on Twitter. It's twending on Twitter.
It's twending?
It's twending. It's twending.
That
Joaquin Phoenix, Joker, is yet another Joker death, that Joaquin Phoenix was found unresponsive in his hotel in Manhattan and has passed away at the age of 45. It's pretty obvious that's likely it's supposedly coming from Fox News. And even Fox News proofreaders aren't as bad as misspelling Phoenix and Manhattan in one email.
Right.
And so it's
instead of the proper Pahonix,
yeah,
they added Phoenix.
Yeah. And Manhattan had an EN at the end.
Mm.
And ain't true. Apparently he's still alive.
Alive and well.
Yeah.
He was found unresponsive that time he went on Letterman.
Well,
when he was wearing the.
He's generally found unresponsive most days.
That was one of my favorite. You remember when he was doing that?
Yeah, he was doing that documentary.
That documentary
with the Affleck kid.
Yeah, what was it called? Casey Affleck. I'm not here.
Yeah.
Or something like
yeah.
that.
And it was just all part of a big ruse.
Yeah. So he goes on Letterman wearing uh-huh. dark sunglasses and a beard and doesn't say anything the entire
basically
time.
Basically monosyllabic,
yeah.
kind of like distracted answers.
Yes. And at the end of it, the greatest thing, this is one of the reasons I love Dave Letterman.
The greatest ending line of all time.
One of the greatest lines. He ends the thing with, Joaquin, I'm sorry you couldn't be here tonight. And even Joaquin Phoenix starts to laugh.
You see a little smirk.
That's,
I was like,
that's a pretty good
pretty
one.
Pretty goddamn good, Dave.
That's so good. So good.
Yep.
Oh.
We got more?
One more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a return contestant.
Hey, Appers. This is Low Energy Mike.
Now, hold on.
Yeah?
I want to tell you, this came in yesterday morning at 5:38.
Oh, and he's on the West Coast, too.
He's on the West Coast.
Yeah.
He's in Oregon.
Yeah.
5:38 this came in.
Well, you know, them ditch-digging men.
I guess they must start early.
Yeah, they do.
So anyway, I just thought that might be interesting to know as we're listening
to this.
All right,
gotcha.
This is 0530 hours.
All right.
This week, I installed 400 feet of 24-inch black-ribbed pipe in an existing irrigation ditch. The soil in this area is not the best, and the ditch leaked more than the irrigation ditch company liked. Access was only from one end of the job. Had to fill in the ditch, then redig and backfill. One stick at a time. Two excavators. One digging, one carrying and setting pipe. Both involved in the backfill. Lots of rock and boulders in this project. One was too large to pick up. I'd dig a hole next to it. Get it out of the way. That's always fun, wondering if you're going to be able to move that rock or not. A pretty good couple days for a ditch digging man. Talk to you later.
I like that Mike always ends on a positive note. You know, no matter how difficult the job was, how much Mercury might be fucking with his retrograde during the whole process.
Right.
But it's always, at the end, pretty good couple of days.
My favorite part is the sign-off.
Yeah.
The talk to you later. that's the best part. So I forgot what the number is. I know it's O Amuck PM Hat, but I guess it would be 6-2
Oh, I got it here.
6.
Yeah.
5.
Okay. Do you know what it
7,
is?
7.
Oh, boy.
6.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now I lost it. I'm trying to read it off my phone.
Shush. How about you look it up in your contacts?
Oh, do you have it in there?
626-657-6428.
Oh, Amok PM Hat.
626-657-6428. 2-8.
I've never called it except for when I set the thing up.
Yeah. Well, maybe call it.
I'm glad you call it every now and then. Hey, so this weekend, are you leaving? Are you in town?
No, I'm gonna be here in the area if we want to have a twofer.
Let's do it.
Well, maybe we can get is Josh
yeah,
back up to speed?
I hope so. Do it this Saturday or Sunday.
I hope so.
I'm loving
it. He can thank me in person for getting him into Disneyland.
Yeah. What?
No, he'll tell you.
Son of a bitch. Really?
It's all right. I can't do it for everybody, Andy. How many favors can I do for you?
Zero, apparently.
What?
Jesus.
Oh, that's right. I haven't done anything for you. Is there any chance we're going to get Sam back?
I don't know.
He did a recent visit. I mean,
Maybe he's in town.
Delightful.
Maybe he's in town for the holidays.
I'm around.
Who knows?
All right.
But that would be great. All right. So let's plan on doing that and save all of your turkey and fixins.
Yeah.
And fun.
That will be if we record this weekend. As again, if this is released today, Thursday the 21st, and we record this weekend, that will be our Thanksgiving show.
Yes.
All right.
Did you say Thanksgiving?
Our Thanksgiving show.
By the way, I heard a promo today on the radio for a show tonight.
Yes.
I can't remember which show it was, but in that the guy says, it's for Thanksgiving. I heard someone else say it's Thanksgiving.
It's not improper.
It's not proper. It is improper.
There are two accepted ways of saying Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving, and I say them both.
No.
Yeah. Depends on the... It depends on the context on which syllable you're giving the emphasis to.
When you say Thanksgiving, it implies that there's a hate giving or a sympathy giving or a jealousy giving.
Yeah.
Oh, what is this? Oh, this is Thanksgiving.
Okay, but Thanksgiving implies that there is a taking back of thanks. That for some reason you are going to retrieve that thanks.
Thanks-taking?
Oh.
I'm going to take your thanks for coming in here today.
I work here.
I'm going to give you thanks and have some Thanksgiving for you, Larry. Larry, always a pleasure to see you.
Is it? Is that just,
for the purposes
being
of this
cordial?
Broadcast? Yeah.
Have we covered everything we need to?
Do you have a burr up your ass?
No, I'm actually in a really good mood, other than this whole Mercury thing's got me all like
I rattled
on
you
edge.
With it, didn't I?
Well, it's explaining a lot. Yeah. I mean, it actually makes me feel better to know that I can blame it on something other than my own.
It's freeing.
Dumb luck.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what I like to say. Even at the end of a hard day, pretty good day for a ditch digging man. talk to you later.
To you later. all right. Well, I'll talk to you later in a few days.
Yeah.
How can people get a hold of you?
Oh, you know what?
Between your legs.
That joke never gets old.
Never.
And it'll never stop. Hey, why don't you go on over to the Gram, where I like to hang, and...
is that right?
Yeah, that's what all the hip...
The Gram?
That's what all the hip kids are calling it. Connect with me there. The Larry Morgan. The Larry Morgan on Instagram.
Oh, I was having a drink because I thought you were going to go on longer.
No, that's the only one I care about right now because I put up the pretty pictures of things.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. I've been getting so many friend requests lately on Facebook, and I'm rarely on Facebook, but like I'll get dozens of them a day.
Do you think they're bogus, some
maybe.
Of them? Do you recognize any of them?
Yeah. Well, some of them say I have mutual friends, like Larry.
But a lot of people will accept all their friend requests, and there are a lot of people fishing on Facebook, and I'm very wary.
Weird. I don't care for the one that's it's the DJ Andy Chanley one. It's like a public thing.
Yeah. And if people want to follow us on Facebook, we're there, and you can follow us without necessarily having to be friends.
That's true, too. But if you do want to follow me, it's DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook. It's Andy _ Chanley on... It's so fun to say this without somebody repeating everything I say.
I wanted you to know. I'm so glad you noticed, because not only is Josh annoying in person, but that's annoying for everybody.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy passing that along.
No, you'll hear it.
It's Andy _ Chanley on Twitter, and then Andy Chanley. Andy Chanley. on the Gram.
Is it with that sort of emphasis?
Andy Chanley. Yeah. It's all one word.
Excellent.
No, not caps or anything. I hope it didn't, when I said Andy, that didn't intimate that it's capitals.
Yeah. They got
it's just
it.
All one word.
This is
Andy Chanley.
This is why Josh interrupts you. Now it's starting to make sense. Josh, I retract my
Larry.
Insult.
Larry.
Yeah.
Press the button.
This one?
That button.
Woohoo! Oh, wrong one.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end. Tune into this podcast, we're your artificial friends.